You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on the first day of a new trading week. And again, I've said this before, it's a good thing that the JSE's doors have closed because it's been, goodness me, for certain sectors of the JSE, it's been absolutely awful. The 5 o'clock shadow today is populated by Greg Davies, chief trader at Kratos Capital, and also Nick Kunze joins us on this special day from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg as well. Nick Kunze, start with you. It's really time to put your feet up and to have a moment of introspection. This has been a day of ignominy for the JSE.
Yes, Lindsay, it's been a really tough day. And taking a quick glance at the sort of closes on the all share of the top 40, moving 0.3% down, doesn't really tell the true story, because you've had some sectors, as you pointed out. I mean, shares down 11, 12, 10, 9%. On the downside, and some shares up on the gold side, 6, 7, 8, 9%. So a real tug of war between the risk on and the risk off at the moment. But yes, if you've been holding some of these shares on the JSE that have been troubled, I mean, some of them are down, as I said, 30% in the last month. It's been a torrid affair for some of them.
Greg, give us the details. I mean, we normally do the top five major moves to the upside and the downside later on the 5 o'clock shadow. But let's start with the downside, because it provides a useful backdrop to the rest of the conversation. Give us the bad news, please. Give us the straight dope.
Yeah, some of the sort of almost blue chip names, as Nick was saying, shares which you wouldn't expect to have these type of moves. Aspen, top of the downs there, down 10% at 75.91. Discovery, we've both got, I'm sure, lots to say on that one. 105.72. It feels like 3 weeks ago it was 150. Dischem, one of our favorites, often on the list, down 5.8%, 21.61. RMH down 5%, 28.13. And PSG Consult, in my line of business, they're down 4.9%, 8.67.
And if you go just below that, which I can do, Netcare also down quite nastily. So you got Aspen, Discovery, Dischem, and Netcare in four of the top six losers, all in the same sort of field. Nick Kunze.
Yeah, just this, there's this the rumbling since end of last week when the story broke of the NHR bill that was made public on Thursday. Ever since then, we've been trying to dissect what does it actually mean for a few of these counters that are exposed heavily to that side. And if you tell by the, if you think that a price is a fair description of what the market thinks on the screen, they certainly don't like it. I mean, in fact, looking at some of the stuff, as Greg pointed out, Discovery down again today. I mean, that's down, what is that down? Must be down 13-14% since the bill was made public on Thursday. So it really is just sell that sector and stay away. It seems to be the market voting with their feet.
Actually, more than that, because Discovery on Friday was down 8.5%. It's now down another 8.5% today.
Oh, and 16% then.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Greg, you were saying that it was 102.50 today. This brings up an interesting thought in my head, because I do remember that Adrian Gore, the CEO, visionary of Discovery, and he's still a visionary no matter what's happening to the share at the moment. Yeah. Didn't he put on a top and tail or a cost collar or something? Nick, you're probably better with... You're better. Oh, in that case, Greg, off you go then.
Yeah, well, just from reading people's tweets, really, to learn these things. He did have the option on the collar. He had the put at 106, but it's European, so it's cash settled. So it doesn't mean he has to sell, or doesn't mean that whoever wrote that is going to sell. It's just protection that he would have built in. And the main reason would be because those shares can be pledged, and who's ever got those shares.
Not him. Somebody has to sell, though. This is a zero-cost collar, I would have thought. And so somebody has to protect themselves.
There's different methods, but I think what they can do is put him into the money, yeah. But there's a lot of debates about it on the Twitter sphere.
Okay. What do we do with Discovery now? This is a share that's come from where to where? I mean, we know where it is now. It's closed at 105.72. In fact, that is the closing price. What do we do with it now? Do we say this is a company that built a very fancy building in Sandton, so that's always a red flag, but on the other hand, it's got a great business. But on the other hand, David Shapiro was mentioning to me that Macquarie, a new analyst at Macquarie, who he's seeing on Wednesday, is speculating about a $15 billion life account hole in the business. In other words, people redemptions in their policies and all that sort of thing, that is the nightmare of life assurance companies. So what do we do now? Do we wait for the news to come out? Because there's no smoke without fire. How do we play it?
It's interesting because in the last week of August last year, they gave a trading update, and then the first week of September would be the results. But I mean, it's interesting that Macquarie, because actually someone pointed out that if they've written a report like that, the only way that they could have that information is if they had a proper look at the books, you know, Discovery Live right now, which theoretically is impossible. I'm tending to err on the side of Adrian Gore. He's got such integrity. I would be saying that the share is probably a buy now, but we need to hear some noises from number one cent and drive there.
Sounds like Greg's long, Nick Kunze.
Yeah, look, it's. I just think there's so much negativity in that sector, so much anti-SA space. There's a large foreign shareholder base here too, who are probably voting with their feet. Throw in the fact that there has been delays on the bank, and they probably need a strong life insurance business to fund the growth of their bank, which is obviously not going to happen that quickly at $100 a share. So I think it's just, you know, I wouldn't catch this falling off, but I agree with Greg. I mean, ultimately, this particular company, if you want to see what disruptive fintech can do in the South Africa space, Discovery's got to be the poster child for it. But at the moment, I mean, just being whipsawed by legislation, government, anti-SA rhetoric, I wouldn't catch this falling knife just yet.
Okay, so let the falling knife embed itself in the ground, let the dust settle, and start to build as the thing makes a sort of saucer formation as a technical analyst. In other words, people starting to nibble away rather than selling. My point to David Shapiro earlier on today, gentlemen, was that a lot of these stocks, like Discovery, like Aspen, for example, the two former poster children of the JSE bull market, they were too high in the first place. They were too profitable because of, I don't know, slick marketing machines and aggressive acquisitions. They were too protected and they were too pampered. And now a potential competitor, even though it's not going to happen, we know NHI won't happen. And if it does, it'll be disastrous. This is the reason that they're falling now. They're just coming back to where they should be, even though they may be a little bit too low at the moment. What do you think about that for a theory?
Yeah, but as we were discussing this morning, I mean, the recent high, I mean, it was around 180 Rand at the peak in 2018. So, I mean, it's really, really fallen a long way from there. So it's complete optimism gone out of the stock.
And if I had to throw in, we were just speaking about Aspen earlier. I mean, Aspen's trading on a forward P of 6. You know, I mean, when's the last time you actually saw some of these top 40 sort of blue chip shares trading on a mid-single digit? I mean, it really, if there's one thing going in for some of these shares, they are starting to look ridiculously cheap.
Okay, so we're going to get a bounce back, are we? Nick, you put up the PE number there. You've suddenly gone very quiet.
Well, I just think if for long-term investors, you know, the opportunity, if you still like the story, you know, there's got to be, to the point the downside is certainly getting limited on a 6 PE when this thing. Look, but this ties in exactly with the argument, Lindsay, that maybe these things like Aspen shouldn't have been 350
exactly
grand shares, so expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
The share was 145 ahead of the last set of results, and in the type of maniac panic thing which happened on that day, it touched 70 Rand. We all thought that's ridiculous. And fast forward to, it ran back to 110 and 112, and it's held there for quite a long time. Now we're 75 Rand 95, so that movement down on the day of the last results may not be that far out of the money, really. We might see 70 Rand the next day or two.
Talking about maniacs, we'll talk about Donald Trump later on, because the S&P, as we speak, is on its lows, down 30 at the moment, and the Dow Jones is down around about 275 points. But we'll speak about that in a moment. But let's have a look at the upside moves on the JSE, which have been equally as dramatic as the downside ones. Greg, have you got your sharenet.co.za screen up there?
Yes, so it's mostly gold shares. One interesting one, I wonder if Nick knows about it. But let me just give you the from the bottom up then. Anglo Gold up 5%, Sibanye up 6.5%, Goldfields up 6.7%, Harmony up 7.1%. Really nice surprises there with the rand and the platinum situation. But I see Sappi was up 12.8%. And I did look while we were chatting if it was just the last minute, you know, close up.
No, it was all afternoon.
It grinded higher the whole afternoon, correct?
Yeah, I know. There's rumors doing. It wasn't even a rumor. I saw a note. It was either J.P. Morgan or one of the American houses. I think it was either J.P. Morgan or Merrill Lynch. They had a very bullish outlook note put on it late on last week. Target price 90 Rand on the share. So I think probably they're talking their book. But anyway,
no, you
I'll take that on what it is.
That's an outlandish accusation.
Never happened.
Yeah, that'd be the first farm.
So in other words, don't disparage the financial services industry. You mean it's going to double? They're saying it's going to double.
Yeah.
From 45 to 90.
Yeah, 90 rand target price, yeah.
That's not bad. There's plenty of room for wiggling there. But if you look at
free money, buy it now.
Yeah. Okay, but apart from that heavily influenced share price of 12.88% higher, you've got a theme running here, and see if you can spot it. Harmony Goldfields, Sibanye, and Anglo Gold. The gold price this morning, Greg, when we spoke, was $14.90, down $7, and it's now, what, $15.05 to $15.10, something like that? The bounce-back ability of gold is palpable.
Yeah, and I think that investors are skittish and frightened away by various things, but it's sort of safe haven gold thing. And it's amazing. As you were saying, we were chatting this morning, gold was 1488, and a half an hour later it was 1595, and the whole complexion of the gold market changed completely. So it almost as if the trend is back above 15. Okay, we've seen the low, let's see where the next high is, and buyers came rushing back into these gold shares.
I mean 1500s. Seems like the new, what was it, we were bouncing around last time, 1300, this seems like the new floor in gold for now.
It really does. You wanted to mention a share called Blue Label, Nick, when we were talking off air. What's the story there?
I don't know, it's been popping. Look, it's been bouncing around. There was a whole lot of stuff flying around last week with Cell C and MTN and impairing this and that. And there was rumors that I think MTN was sniffing around Cell C, but there's been no real sort of news flow. And we're quite a solid bounce the last few days, the end of last and shortened week. But I mean, pretty quickly gave it all back today. I mean, down 12% today, but seems to be a couple of punters trying to pick the top and the bottom of that thing at the moment.
Greg, you know Blue Label quite well.
It's a bit of speculator sort of stock. What Nick's saying quite right. It rallied in the last week or so. On a lot of hot air and a couple of sense announcements weren't that clear. We saw that, but when there was nothing to build on, nothing to take us further from there, then you've had the 12% down again today.
On the spot markets, we've got the dollar rand 10 cents better than it was this morning at 15.33, but still 0.5% weaker than the closing levels last week. The British pound against the rand is 18.51, the euro rand is 17.21, and the euro dollar is 1.1222. The dollar has reversed its gains of earlier on today, so that's probably why we've got the gold price up $8 to 15.05 and a half. The platinum price is 8.59, and the palladium price, Greg, I have to go to you again. Palladium.
Yeah, up $16 at 14.41.
And the oil price is $58.32, which is down 4 cents, and that's not looking good. And that's all to do with the international fears of a global economic slowdown, which is not being helped by Mr. Trump, the maniac, who says the following: "We're not ready to do a deal with Japan." I mean, why say that? Why not just say, we're ready to do a deal with Japan, but it's going to take a lot of talking, but we're hopeful it's going to do it? Why does he say, we're not ready to do a deal with Japan? Nick, I have to talk to you about this because Greg likes two things that I can't stand. Number one, Donald Trump. Number two, Manchester United. So, Nick, Donald Trump, please.
I think he's fallen off, Nick.
Okay, so over to you then.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not helping the markets really, all this chatter at the moment. He's created a lot of uncertainty. You've got the Dow at the moment down 270 points, and we were looking like a positive start when we were chatting on the opening this morning. So certainly the markets are unsettled. The markets are very skittish at the moment, but I'm sure they're working. There's always a method in the madness.
No, there isn't. South Korea and Japan having a few trade spats as well. Hong Kong is blowing up. The rand under pressure. And again, the phrase, the perfect storm, comes to mind. The markets are not falling in a massive heap because we're used to 200-300 moves on the Dow and 20, 30, 50 moves on the S&P to the upside and the downside. But it does feel as though there's a summer of discontent, a late summer of discontent in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yes, yeah, certainly. And uncertainty, and the markets feel a little bit tired. You did have that run to the all-time high, but just so much uncertainty created over the last month with the China trade tariffs and so on. So the market's waiting for things to settle down. We were focused on earnings for a while. They were pretty good, but that's largely forgotten for now.
Do you think Nick Kunz has just got fed up with the negativity and just had to sit down with a glass of whatever his favourite tipple is? Greg, what do you think about the rest of the evening? Because I'm having a look at the S&P now down on its lows of the day, Dow Jones approaching a 300-point loss. Just give me this scenario now. If we came in tomorrow and the Dow was 500 plus lower on the close, what do you think the JSE would do?
Yeah, the selling would accelerate. The market's very skittish. I mean, we did just over 20 billion rands worth. So on a day that was so negative, to do that sort of volume, there's plenty of selling out there. There's a lot of talking to a lot of, especially institutional clients, there's a lot of throwing up hands in the air and saying, what more do we have to do? You know, we've done our research, we've picked our stocks, and we're still not able to make any progress with this market. So emerging markets don't seem to rally when developed markets rally, and then certainly they come down on the back of developed markets, and that's what's been frustrating for investors.
Well, I can tell you what, if you've done your research on Aspen, Discovery, Dischem, PSG Consult, and all the others, then you would have been short of them. But obviously you weren't, whoever your researchers are. Greg, give us the closing JSE indexes, please.
Sure. The bank's down 1%, financials down 1.25%, industrials down 0.96%, retailers down 1.25%, the gold index, the shining light, up 5.8%. Platts actually gave up some ground, down 1%. Resources up 1.42%. I mean, it's not a huge number. The market finished 0.33% lower. But
yes,
if you thought this morning we were a couple of hundred points up, we finished 164 lower. So giving up those early morning gains, closing at 55,372 on the all share. I wouldn't like to see us go below 55. Volume of 20.5 billion.
Yeah, and although we might say for the JSE Limited, 20.5 billion is good, but on a down day like this, it means that there's good volume on the selling side. Greg Davies, thank you very much for your analysis. Nick Kunze in absentia, thank you very much for your time as well. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth. Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Greg will be back same time tomorrow morning, in other words, around about 9:30 with the opening. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.